Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Friday, February 6th, 2004. Today's session is entitled Grounded in God's Vision, Summoning Out What We Shall Be. This is session one of Grounded in God's Vision, the Women's Retreat, led by Sister Mary Jo Chaves and Reverend Gloria Jost. Session number CHM 2004-01. Let's listen in.
I'm Hanifa, and I'm serving the village as program coordinator. And I was given the honor and delight of introducing two people that have become very dear to me, actually, Sister Mary Jo Chaves and Reverend Gloria Jost. Right? And they are both spiritual ministers in the greater Portland area. And Sister Mary Jo is a member of the Sisters of St. Francis, and she has her master's in applied theology from the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. And Gloria is an ordained minister in the Mennonite Church. And she received her education through the Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana. And since about 1997, they've been working as a team coordinating retreats and spiritual growth opportunities for communities from really diverse faith traditions, which I think is really exciting. And they bring a broad range of experiences in spirituality, worship, and music. And both are trained in the art of spiritual direction and are members of Spiritual Directors International and have spiritual direction practices in Portland. And as Gloria and I were just laughing a moment ago, they're quite a pair, and I enjoy them both. So I'm really glad to have you here, and welcome to our Holden Women's Retreat. And I won't do a long introduction, but Jerry Howe and Claudia Walker will be here doing some music and a concert with their daughters tomorrow night and helping out with the retreat too. So, glad to have you here.
It truly is. I try to be so cool, and then I can't even turn it on. It truly is a delight to be with each one of you. And Mary Jo and I have been working on this retreat on and off for the last, 4 or 5 months. And as Holden Village kind of extracted and coalesced what their vision would be and their theme would be for this next season, we began to gravitate towards that as well. And that's how you got your theme and the content of this weekend, looking at discernment, looking at who we are called to be, summoning us out to be all that we're called to be. But before we get into all that, Mary Jo, do you want to just update these women on how in the heck two women so diverse got together? Go ahead.
Well, I was working at the Franciscan Renewal Center in Portland, Oregon. It was my first year there. And just beginning my spiritual direction practice. This was in 1996. And so I was just a brand new spiritual director at that time, very eager for people to come. So I thought I had something to offer. So I was standing in the hallway one day, and this lady comes up, and she's got her notebook and her calendar, and she says, "I'm looking for a spiritual director." And I said, "Well, you've come to the right place." And that began the spiritual direction relationship that we had at the time. That lasted for about 3 years. And then Gloria began to work at the Renewal Center, and we began to do spiritual ministry together. So because of the nature of a spiritual direction relationship, we decided that we would move into ministry and out of that relationship because it's a much more mutual relationship now. And since then, we've been doing retreats all over Portland and elsewhere. And it's been our privilege, absolute privilege, to come here to Holden. We got to do a stop day for the community, the winter community last year. And then we got to do Elder Hostel in September. And that was just delightful. And then we got to come back to do this for you. So we're just excited to be here and excited to share our co-ministry.
I'm going to share just an intersection in what Mary Jo was talking about, because it's a discernment story. I discerned with Mary Jo as my spiritual director that the form of ministry as a pastor was really not the best form for me. So I discerned myself out of that and grew to realize that spiritual ministry, that is retreat work, contemplative retreat work, and spiritual direction, and all that goes with that was really a deeper calling than the pastoral ministry. But I also knew something else. I knew that I did not want to do it alone. As I journeyed with Mary Jo, director, directee, I thought to myself, oh my, wouldn't it be something to do ministry with her? But how possibly could that happen? I am this so Protestant of a woman married with a family, and she is so Catholic, a nun, and you know, this is not going to work. So I never breathed a word of my true intention, except one time in spiritual direction. I said, Mary Jo, I just know I am to be ministering with somebody. Little did I know that she had already began to have these quickenings. God, I sure would like to minister with Gloria. And maybe she even thought, how in the world is this ever going to happen with the same sort of differences that we had? And lo and behold, after I began to work at the Renewal Center, we discovered that we each were sensing this, an incredible story of how God works and how things move into flowering and fruition. Enough about us. Let's move on. Oh. You have come, each one of you, for a retreat. There are many different kinds of retreats. There are teaching retreats where you sit in rows and you take a lot of notes. And then there are entirely silent retreats. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. From beginning to end, even meals, all is in silence. Sometimes there are directed retreats. You may or may not be familiar with those, where you go and have a tiny little bit of input and worship and prayer together as a community, but primarily you meet with a spiritual director once a day for an entire week or 10 days or so. Well, so you're here for a retreat, but what kind of a retreat is this going to be? Well, it's going to be a smattering of all of those, except the formal spiritual direction. We are going to have times where you very likely may want to take notes. You're going to get plenty of handouts. We are going to have times where you, as small groups, are going to be sharing together. There are going to be times of silence, which we will tell you well in advance, and so it doesn't need to be something that you carry anxiety about. There are going to be times in which perhaps you want to speak with either Mary Jo or myself about your own spiritual journey. That isn't in the formal plan of what we're doing, but the topic that we are going to be exploring is one that goes to the core of our beings. It's discernment. We're all in the midst of some form of not knowing and some forms of knowing. So if at any given time you feel a need or a desire to talk more with someone who is trained in listening to the spiritual journey, Mary Jo and I are available, and please feel free to come to us. So in this retreat, you'll be quiet. You'll not be quiet. You may want to take notes. You may want to listen. We're also going to sing. In fact, we're going to sing a song right now. And would somebody go to the piano either? Yeah, that would be wonderful. Great. We're going to sing the song that we sang this evening, Tangle, Take Me As I Am. That's going to be our theme song. You should have a copy. But before even a note is played, I want you to do this with me. And I want you to do this with me with words. Just copy what I can do, what I do. I can sing.
I can sing.
I sing beautifully.
I sing beautifully.
Listen to me sing.
Listen to me sing.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right, now we have a room full of singers. That's good. But now just another technical thing. Does anybody claim themselves as true sopranos? And if you don't even know what that means, that is fine. You know, right, okay, great. And does anybody claim themselves as true altos? You know, the kind that read music and just really, okay, great. Hang on to those and really let it rip. Because I am confident, and actually Mary Jo is too, that we are going to be able to sing this song in three parts by the time our weekend is over. I can sing. Anyway, the song goes like this. We sang it tonight. Just join in. And those of you who sing alto, you know, really let it out. I'm going to start with soprano, then I might move to alto, so basically don't pay attention to me too much. And let's just sing this through several times. Nuts and bolts. You have folders. Please bring them with you each time. That'll just keep you with putting your sheets and things in where they belong. And also, please wear your name tags. They're all coded. We'll talk about the code later. But it's just important so that everybody remembers everybody's names. And let's see. The schedule is all in the dining room, is also on the kiosk, is that correct?
No, the kiosk
is correct. No, because you can't get it to it. That's right, just but in the dining room?
No, I did hand them out at orientation.
Wonderful.
So I know some people weren't here, so
okay.
We can put some out later,
great.
Actually.
Wonderful. We are going to work at following that schedule, but I don't know one retreat that Mary Jo and I have done where the spirit and the energy of all of us together moves things in a slightly different direction. But please know that beginning times and ending times will remain the same, so you can count on that. We're going to talk, share, pray, discuss, be in silence around discernment. Discernment, that's a big word that can mean several different things. I'm going to give you some phrases. It can mean to sift out. It can mean to separate. It can mean to reconnect. It can mean to sort and to weigh. It can mean sifting, talking and listening. But for us in the Christian tradition, no matter what the wave is or what part of this dynamic we are in, for those of us in the Christian tradition, it is always listening to discern, to know in the core of our beings, is what we are gravitating towards or seeing coalesce in a sense, is that of God or not? Testing the spirits, and there are scriptures that speak to that. But how, in the midst of that, do we really know that something is of God or not? There are so many voices that we have around us. There's the voice of culture. There's the voice of our families, especially the families that we carry with us no matter where we go, you know, that wagon that we have, our family history, our families. There's our own story, the voice of that. There's the voice of the workplace that for many, many of us is a very strong voice when we are discerning, trying to determine if something is of God or not. And even though in and of themselves, those voices may be good, we still are summoned to ask the question, but is that of God? It doesn't pit God against any of those things, but we still have to ask ourselves the questions because we can be easily, I don't want to say confused, but there can be masking, let's use that word for tonight, masking of what is of God, what is of the Holy One, and perhaps what isn't. So we're going to be talking in and around and above and underneath. How is it that we really know what God's will is? We'll talk later about defining God's will. That's a whole other topic. But that's the question. How do we know? So we'll be spending time around that. We'll be looking at who we are in this broad brushstroke. If you take, you know, the biggest brushstroke with a paintbrush on your not palette. What am I saying? Thank you. Now you've discovered something about me. I have these words right on the tip of my tongue, and I count on people to help me. And so you got it. Okay, on the canvas, and that biggest brushstroke is God's vision for all of humanity. And I'm just going to toss it out. What would you say, just like that? What is it? Just, don't make it complicated. What is God's vision?
Love.
Love. Something else.
Peace.
Joy and community. Exactly. Living in harmony with all of creation. Understanding the interconnectedness that we have with everything. And making, finding our place in that so that all continues to flow in the web of this huge brushstroke. So, tonight, that's the big brushstroke tonight. God's vision, summing us, summoning us out to be all that we can be. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about being grounded in love, and we're going to look at ourselves and the signs of God's call. On Sunday, this is all on your... See, there it is again. I can't think what that is.
Schedule.
See, oh, this is going to be... You're a good group. All on our schedule, and we're going... So don't write anything down. Sunday, we're going to talk about being grounded in relationship, looking at prayer, and how do we live with joy. And then on Monday, grounded in abundance, we're going to celebrate. We'll give you more details later. Tonight, grounded in God's vision, the big picture.
You know, whenever one comes to Holden, one gets to experience many means of transportation. Whenever I try to explain this to someone, they say, "Wendy, where is that?" "Well," I said, "you can't drive there." And then they said, "Well, how do you get there?" And I said, "Well, you get on a boat, and you get on a bus, and you get on a plane, and you drive in a car," and they look at me like, "You've got to be crazy to be going there." And I say, "Oh, all you have to do is try it. Try it just once." Mm-hmm. We were with Jackie at the B&B last night, and she has a wonderful vision. We were coming down from Wenatchee, and the road was snowy, and she said, "You get almost there, and you see the lake along that road." And she said, at that point, she tells people, "Now, wasn't it worth it to come that far? And to come that far at this time of year is very different. The village is very different now than it is in the summertime." And for some of you, this is your first experience of being here. For some of you, it's your many times experience for being here. For some of you, you live here. So what I'd like you to do for just a few moments is to just with the people around you, just very briefly, share your experience of Holden. What has it been for you? Even if it's only been for the last 3 hours. What has it been for you? For some of you, this may take a little longer because you've been here a few more years. But what got to you? So just take a few moments to do that and meet each other a little bit there. Just by where you are. I came up here one winter four different times to do spiritual direction. And one of these times, the maintenance crew, 30 men and one woman, decided that they wanted a retreat. But they can't all leave the place at the same time because of the fire danger. So they said, "Well, we can't leave, so let's go up to the Portal Museum." Now, if there's this much snow out there, we're going to go up to the Portal Museum. He said, "Oh, that's okay. We'll be just fine. We're going to go up to the Portal Museum for this." I said, "Okay, I'm game." Now, as you can see a little bit of some of the things we bring for these things, I thought, "I'm taking one scarf." Because I'm going to be caught up with stuff. So off we go, these 30 men and one woman, up to the Portal Museum. And we get there, and the bridge was still there at the time. So we get across the bridge, and we're looking up there, and they have sent ahead of us these younger antelopes to carve, you know, steps in the snow. Now, they also have decided that they want meat to have for lunch. And that they're going, now it's like, you know, 6 degrees out, we're going to barbecue this meat outside. So I look at these steps up to this Portal Museum in the snow, and I said, "Okay, I'm going first. You're all coming after me." And they had trays of food, and they're just jumping on up there, you know, struggling along. But we get up there to the Portal Museum. They've been working a long time to get it warm. But you know where hot air goes?
Oh, yeah.
So here we are, sitting in the Portal Museum. I have my one scarf, and we're going to get all ready for this retreat. So they're kind of getting settled in, sitting on a little food. So I put the scarf over some rocks that are up there. I go around, I collect a few rocks, make a little setting. And then I have them each bring one little tool that has something to do with what they do here. Stuck their little tools in there and that piece of wood. And off we went. Well, now before long, it got rather cold up there. So we all have on our mittens, our hats, and our coats, and we're retreating away up there. Came time for lunch. So they said, we're going to go out and we're going to have this barbecue. They're determined. They're going to have this barbecue. It won't start at 6 degrees outside. So after a while, they're picking up the hamburgers with their hands and say, well, they aren't cooking. So these younger antelopes go jackrabbiting down the hill, cook the stuff at the kitchen, and bring it back up because we are determined to have this meat. I must tell you that was the most unique retreat I've ever given all of my life or think will ever give. And I think that's typical of Holden. I think we all have Holden stories like that. And if you're just new here, believe me, you'll soon have them. It's part of the place. Part of what it is to be here. Now, you're delighted to be here. We're delighted to be here. But there is someone else who is twice as delighted that we're here, and that's God. God is jumping up and down saying, thank God, she stopped. Thank God, she stopped. And I'm only going to give her 3 things to do. These days, going to ask her to pray, going to invite her to eat, and I'm going to ask her to sleep. And not necessarily one third, one third, one third. But that this time is your time to just be luxuriously in the lap of God. It's like, you know, it's like this with God. Before us, we're in this huge banquet hall. All of humanity that has ever existed, either in the past, present, or in the future, is there. And every one of us has a table in front of us. And on the table are all of the events, thoughts, happenings of our lives. Anything that's ever happened to us, or ever will happen. It's all there. And what happens is this. This God that we believe in is so big that God comes to each table. So it comes to our table. God looks at our life, all of it, covers it with unconditional love. And then God takes our face in God's hand and God says, I prefer you. I prefer you. That's the God we believe in. That this God can have the preferential option for each one of us. It doesn't matter what's on our table. I prefer you. So that's the God in whose lap we rest this weekend. And we're resting with 40 plus other wonderful women. We were noticing as we were at the B&B last night, the energy, hard to take it. Did you notice the energy when you came in the room? It's that energy that we're taking time. It's hard to come by. It's even hard to come by up here. As a spiritual director here, I spent most of my time helping people understand they did have some time. We have time. And this God that we believe in is giving us all these hours and all these wonderful people to be with. So that while we're here, we can stop and take a look at our own spiritual journey. For each of us, that journey is different. As different as we are, as individuals. But we all have one. Now you notice up here, we're famous for our scarves. And our bags. You notice there's several scarves up here. And they're all different. They're as different as you and I. They're as different as our spiritual journeys might be. So the invitation is going to be to come up here and choose a scarf. And that scarf is meant to symbolize your spiritual journey. Now, this is a choice of your heart, not of your mind. So you say, well, now, it's not exactly like that, but, well, you know what? I have a few dots like this. No, that's not the way you do it. This is how you do it. Just sort of open up your heart, and you don't choose the scarf. The scarf chooses you. And believe me, there's one here that will choose you. Promise you. It's going to be a scarf that we're going to invite you to keep. You're not going to give it back to us. So it's going to journey with you through the whole retreat, and then it's going to journey on after that. So what we're going to be asking you to do in a few moments is, and I'll call you up in little groups to do this, is to choose a scarf, or let a scarf choose you, that symbolizes your spiritual journey right now, where God has you right now. And after you've chosen the scarf, then we're going to invite you to go to Creekside, which is the next room over here. And there's little groups of chairs in there. Notice on your folders that there's a B1 or an R1 or an L1 or an O1. That's the group you're in. It's right on the front, on the little, it's on your name tag, and it's on the little tag there, and it's right there on the folder. And when you go into the Creekside, the chairs there, it's clear which group to sit in. There's one chair that has a name tag on it that says O1 or B1 or whatever. So it'll be an opportunity to go in and to sit with that group and to share how the scarf symbolizes your spiritual journey. If it has words, it might not have words, you might just be able to say, well, and that's okay. What's important is that everyone in the group has the chance. And then I want you in the group to help each other put the scarves on in some way. Some of you are probably really good at that. And some of you say, well, I've never worn a scarf in my life. Well, here's your chance. So to put the scarf back on and to wear it all weekend. And to come back in here, when you come back in here, to sit in a little quiet for a while. We'll have the lights down a bit, and just to sit in quiet, thinking about what you shared and what you heard from your little group. And then we'll close the evening. Now, it's about 20 of 9 now, and we'd like to have you all back here by about 9 o'clock. Okay, I think that'll be enough time for sharing. We'll wait till everyone's back before we close the evening. So I'd like to start with group B, as in boy, B1. If you would stand and come choose your scarf and go to the other group.
Thank you.
Restless and Longing, L2.
Thank you.